The Lord Jesus said, we don't know the day or the hour of his coming. Actually, the Lord Jesus said, as the Son of Man, he doesn't even know the time. Only the Father. I don't know how that works. But anyway, guess what he said. He said, you don't know the day or the hour, but he never said, we don't know the year. Now, don't get too excited, because I'm not going to tell you the year tonight. Yeah, because we don't know the year yet. But I'm going to tell you when you will know the year. The Bible does tell us that. And so this thing here, the beginning of the seven years, the last week, will happen when this man that Christians usually call the Antichrist, when he makes a contract with the nation of Israel to allow them to reconstruct the temple from the Old Testament. That's going to happen. On that site right now is a Muslim mosque, I think the third holiest site in Islam. It's unthinkable. How is this going to happen? And how does a man have the authority that he makes a deal with Israel and the whole world honors that deal? This is going to be a very, very influential, powerful man. Now, we don't know who that is yet, but it's very possible, very probable, this man is already alive and gaining power, probably in Europe. We know some of these things from the Bible. One day, you will read it. You will hear it on the news. Peace in the Middle East. And the Jews will build, are given the go-ahead. Not that they build it, but the contract to build. Because there's prophecies that have to be fulfilled with the temple built. When that happens, you know 7 years to go and the Lord is coming. But you still don't know the day or the hour, so what he said is still right. 7 years to go. And that, I just believe, is going to be in your lifetime. All the signs point to it's going to be in your lifetime. Now, okay, 7 years, but I'm encouraging you. Don't set it like a timer for 7 years. Don't do that. Set a timer for 3.5, because that's all the time you got. Because in the first three and a half, actually, I believe the world will have lots of peace. I expect that man must win the Nobel Peace Prize. He'll be very famous. Christians will be saying, no, that's the Antichrist. Everybody will be saying, shut up. He's great. It's going to be that way. And we're going to be, no, we know. Okay, don't waste your energy on that. Spend your energy on growing.
Amen.
Eat the tree of life.
Amen.
Don't just sing about it.
Right.
Eat it.
Amen.
Like, do it.
Amen.
Enjoy.
Amen.
3.5 years. Okay. Now, I don't know how much you can grow in 3.5 years, so I'm telling you, get a head start tonight.
Amen.
That's the burden of this message. Grow! And tell the Lord, I want to grow.
Amen.
I want to grow.
Amen.
Now, you may have different reasons for growing. I hope you grow because you love the Lord. But another incentive is that, now here it says, the martyred, overcoming saints of past generations are resurrected and raptured to, the Lord's coming starts here at the 3.5 year mark. And there are different verses. Revelation 12. The first stripe overcoming believers living in this age. So these are the ones who died already, the ones who died before us, the believers, any that we know who are Christians, who in their lifetime they got mature. They grew in the time the Lord gave them. They didn't waste time. Yeah. And then the first ripe overcomer believers, they're raptured. And then rest of the overcomers. Okay, out again. So there's a group that's raptured here. And then the 3.5 years, second half, which is called the Great Tribulation. You've heard about that. Bad. Don't be around for that. Plan to grow. Plan to build the church. Have a normal church life. And let's all meet at the throne. Have a good time for 3.5 years. Then when the Lord Jesus, look, when the Lord Jesus comes, when the Lord comes, actually, I didn't know this when I was very young. I surely didn't know this when we were with the brethren. That when the Lord comes back, he doesn't come back alone. Did you know that? He comes with his overcomers. And it says it in the Old Testament, in Joel. He comes with his mighty ones. In Revelation, it says he comes with his army. I thought it was angels. Those are not angels. Those are people like you and me who grew to be his companion, his bride. When he comes, they also come. You know where they come to? Armageddon. Don't miss that. That's going to be crazy. I know. Like, this sounds like a story. You know what I mean? It's like a story. Just wait. You have a chance to live it. You have a chance to live it. So, okay, thank you. Now we come to the outline. We can turn that off. Let's read Romans 1 together on the outline. Everyone, sooner or later, must face this. People don't believe this, but they're going to face it. Everyone has to face it sooner or later. Do you know that in the New Testament, some Bible students have really looked into this, and they counted one out of every 20 verses in the New Testament talks about the Lord's coming. Do you know that? One out of every 20. Yeah. Which is about 398 verses. Do you know how many verses there are in the New Testament? Just around 7,997, something like that. Just under 8,000 verses. Do you know how many verses in the whole Bible? Anybody know? 31, well, it depends on what manuscript you use to translate. But it's at least 31,100. Some say 101, some say 102, some say 173, some say 175, but it's 31,100 something. About 3,000 in the Old Testament, 20 and 8,000 in the New Testament. But of the 8,000, one out of 20, almost 400 verses, if you read your New Testament, the Lord's talking about his coming. Don't you think it's important to him? His message to us, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. But very often of those verses, it doesn't just say, I'm coming. It's telling us how to get ready. Those are the ones you got to pay attention to. Okay, that's the next point. 2, the statuses of Christ at his coming. Here we have 5 points. The Lord is coming in these 5 statuses. Sisters, read A. Very interesting. If the Lord Jesus didn't say this himself, I don't know who would dare say that when Christ comes, like an example, I said a judge. Okay, that's okay. Later we're going to talk about what? A master, a bridegroom. He's coming as a thief. What? Like if Shepherd would say this, we'd say, sit down. No Bible. No, it's not the Bible. But Jesus himself said, behold, I come as a thief in the night. There's an aspect here of what? When you don't expect. When you don't expect, he breaks in. So you know what this is telling you? Always expect. Don't get caught off guard. Just live as if he's coming. Lord, I know you're coming. Yeah, I'm going to do this. And I know you're coming. Now, if his coming affects what you're going to do, maybe you better not do it. So there is a benefit to living in the light of his coming. Live in the light of his coming. Okay, he's coming as a thief when you don't expect it. So, expect it. B, brothers. You've heard this many times. The Lord's coming as a bridegroom. See, sisters.
Master to settle account with his slaves.
Many portions talk about he's like master, and he gives to his slaves certain possessions, and then he goes away, and he expects them to use what he gave to build more, right, to gain more, and then he comes back to reward or discipline, reward or punish. So he's a master. Okay. Then, brothers, D?
As a judge to execute judgment.
Okay, we talked a lot about this already. Sisters, E?
As a savior to accomplish God's full salvation.
Okay, this is interesting. Some believers don't know this. You may not realize this. Actually, our first level of Summer School of Truth is on this point. The Lord is our savior, but in different aspects. If I ask you, are you saved? You should be able to say, definitely. Definitely, I'm saved. I am redeemed. I am saved for eternity. I'm saved for eternity. But the Bible talks about other aspects of salvation. Anybody here still lose their temper? Anybody here still live in the flesh? Yeah, all of us. Well, every hand. Both hands should go up. And the feet, yeah, everything should go up. Yes, yes. But there's God, once he comes into our spirit, he wants to grow in us to save us from all those things.
Amen.
Save us from all those things. You know what the kind of salvation we need today? We need to be saved from hatred, racial hatred. It's a big deal in our country today. Big deal. We thought things were getting better, and they're not. Because everybody needs this Savior. The real oneness that people want, that people are craving for, is in Christ. The oneness of the body, where there is not this and not that. Not this color, not that color. That's what people really, really want. That salvation is only in Christ. He's coming as the Savior. You know, eventually he's coming to save not only our spirit and our soul, but even our body. He will transfigure our body. That's going to be wonderful. Okay, so I want to add F, number 6. Please write this down. Number 6. He's coming. Okay, the statuses of Christ is coming. This is how it starts. As a farmer to reap the harvest. As a farmer to reap the harvest. Then in parentheses, including the first fruits. Including the first fruits. Close parentheses, dash. Now we have scripture references. Revelation 14, verses 1 through 5, comma, 14 through 16, semicolon, James 5, 7. I'll read again. Revelation 14, 1 through 5, comma, 14 through 16, semicolon, James 5, 7. He is coming as a farmer. But not to sow. When did the farmer come to sow? In his first coming. He told us this. There's a parable in Matthew 13. He came to sow the seed, which is the word of God. Then, in the Gospels, not the Gospels, the epistles, in the epistles, in Corinthians, it says, you are God's farm. So you know we're growing together. Then, you know what's the song that never ends? You know, having been regenerated. Don't sing it. The it says, having been regenerated, right? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the living and abiding word of God. Then it says, as newborn babes. You know, that's 1 Peter 1, 23, and 1 Peter, what is it, 2 and 3. As newborn babes, long for the guileless milk of the word, that by it you may grow. So you see, in the Gospels, there's the sowing of the seed. In the epistles, there's the farm and the growing. In Revelation, the farmer comes to reap, including the first fruits. That's Revelation 14. What does that mean? In any farm, I'm not a farmer. You know who used to have a farm? Brother Dennis. Brother Dennis, Dennis Cooley, Brother Dennis's family in Missouri. They had a small farm. I'm a city boy from Brooklyn, New York. Concrete. But I do know this about farming. With any harvest, there's a first fruit. What does first fruit mean? It just means grew faster. It grew first. That's all. That's all. Do you know when the Lord comes back before the great tribulation, he's going to take, he's going to harvest the first fruit. Just then. And then the rest of the harvest of Christians will be later. Who are the first ones? Are they special? Actually, no. Are they different? Actually, no. Just one difference. They grew faster. This is my burden for you. Please grow faster. Because, and not just like, oh yes, Lord, I want to grow faster because I don't want to be in the great tribulation. Okay, if it helps, that's good. But the main thing is, Lord, you need some that are worth it to steal away. Amen. We have a new song, right? Steal me away. That's what that's talking about. Is that how, that's how it goes? Steal me away. That's the only part I know. No time. Stop. Steal me away. Listen. Another part of that, the Lord coming as a thief, you know what that means? That means you have to be valuable to him. But actually, the Bible tells us, in the whole universe, the only thing God values is Christ. So how do you become valuable to God? More Christ. Let him grow. You let him grow, you just become more valuable. You cooperate with him, like, he can't not come and get you. Now, eventually, all of God's people are going to grow. That's our destiny. Grow with the Lord. Be one with the Lord. That's, praise the Lord for that. It's not, and in that part, it doesn't depend on us. He's going to do it, all of us. The only question is, some sooner and a bunch later. That's all. And he's waiting. So I'd like you to look at two verses. One of them is this one, James 5:7. Please open the James 5:7. James 5:7. And I'm going to highlight the word long suffering in these two verses. James 5:7. You have it? Whoever has it, please go ahead and read. This verse tells us God is like a farmer. And he's exercising long suffering. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." Don't you think he wants to come back? Don't you think he sees the lawlessness in society? The hatred, the murder, the unrighteousness, that he wants to put an end to this. Yes. But he's exercising long-suffering. What's he waiting for? That's what I said before. We have to find out. What is he waiting for? And the answer's here. He's waiting for you. Or you. Doesn't have to be all of you. It can just be some of you. And it might not be us. It might be other believers who are willing to say, "Grow in me, Lord. I'd just like to be with them then." Say, grow in me too. Lord, get your first fruit. Get your first fruit. You know, in the Old Testament, there's this picture that when the first fruit is harvested, the first fruits go to the house. And actually, that's how it is in farming very often, that a farmer, the things that grow first are for the family, and then the harvest is for business. You sell it and trade it. Of course, God's not selling or trading any of his children, but there's something special about growing first and satisfying our Father. You get a special reward. You get a special reward. And I hope in our heart, it's not for the special reward. It's just that the privilege of giving God what he wants through all these centuries. And it might seem like a fairy tale that you can actually be part of it. But dear young people, you can. If you just grow faster. Another verse, 1 Peter 3:20. Look at this verse. It also has the word long suffering. 1 Peter 3:20. It does not appear on your outline. This is actually about the story of Noah. I found this verse to be very surprising when I stumbled onto this a few years ago. Okay, if you have it, whoever has it, please read. Go, 3:20.
Who hath formerly
disobeyed when the long-suffering of God came into the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, entering into which a few, that is, eight souls, were brought safely through by water? This verse tells us about Noah's time. And remember, the Lord Jesus said in the book of Matthew, as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. So everything about Noah's story applies to us. Pay attention. Pay attention to the story of Noah. And so here, this verse says, the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. When you read Genesis chapter 6, you see what was happening there. Not just immorality. Not just unrighteousness. There was the abandoning of God's ordination for the angels to take human wives and produce something that's neither human nor angelic. It was different. And so God, eventually we know, he wiped that age out, except for how many?
Eight,
the family of Noah. This verse says, the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. God wanted to judge, and he's you done yet? God waits. Done yet? God waits. You know how long in the story of Noah takes for him to build the ark? 100 years. 100 years. And God just patiently just waits. Just like the farmer. You say, Lord, come quickly. Amen. And he says, David, grow quickly. Wow. Oh, Lord, how long? David, how long? Did you realize he's saying that to you? He's saying, oh, sorry, Lord. Got it. Today, grow faster. And I think the Lord is, amen. I'm a little closer. Imagine if all of us prayed this prayer. Imagine if your generation in the Lord's recovery prayed this prayer. Plus, all those college students, nearly 2,000 of them that gave their lives to the Lord 2 weeks ago. Imagine if your generation would say, Lord, come. Today, grow in me faster. The next day, Lord, I failed yesterday. It's okay. I have the blood. Grow in me today. And you don't let anything get in your way. Not sin. Not the world. Yes, we deal with the world. We can't control all that. But you know what? We say, Lord, okay, just grow in me. Just grow in me. Do whatever it takes to release me from the bondage of the world. Lord, I have these things I love and all that. And I've given my testimony many times. Some of you have heard my love for sports. But the Lord did something. Just when I was just 13 years old. You don't have to be like that mature to have experiences like that. I just love sports. And the Lord allowed a situation. Remember, I busted my ankle. I was on a team, basketball. And the Lord, I was standing there. And the team was playing, and I was upset because we were losing. And I was, oh! And the Lord said, look at you. In my heart, the Lord said, look at you. You love that little ball more than me. I said, no, I don't. I remember, I had the right, no, this was in Brooklyn, at the chapel that we had a gymnasium, and we had oh my goodness, hundreds of young people and children come to that gymnasium, and we had sports, and then halftime, preach the gospel, this for the gospel, or between games, to be part of the league, you had to sit through the gospel. Every single week, every single game. You don't know, hundreds got saved. Hundreds got saved. Anyway. And the Lord said, you love that ball? And I remember saying, no, I don't. He said, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. And he left it there. Then I got better. Then we played. Busted it again. And the Lord spoke to me. Look at your heart. You're just like so. Five times. Three on one side, two on the other. The fifth time, I said, Lord, you don't have to do anything else. Enough. I get the point. I love you first. But it doesn't mean I never played basketball again. Do you understand? That thing had me wrapped up. And now it's not wrapped up. So I can use it, I can play, or I can walk away. It's not the world to me. But it might be the world to somebody else, so I don't measure that way. And the Lord wants to deal with every one of us, with all our things. Some things, you got to let them go. Some things, you got to let them go. And you know what those things are. Some things, you just got to let them go. But many things, you don't have to let them go. You just have to bring the Lord into it. And it's not the world to you. Have experiences like that every day. And say, Lord, grow. Even grow in me in this. I love doing this. But Lord, can you do this with me? Can you grow in this with me? If you can, I'd love to do it. Maybe the Lord will say, well, you go, oh, okay, Lord. But you're going to have to grow some more because it's not that easy. It could be a thing. It could be a dream. Could be a goal, could be a possession, could be a person. Sometimes the Lord will say, you have to cut that to follow me. No, you choose. And you know the Lord says, you choose. He doesn't force you. He'll say, you choose. You love me, you love me. If you love that person, you just follow. Lord, I want both. He says, no, it's not going to be that way. It's not. But you choose. I hope you say, Lord, I can't do it, but I choose you. It's difficult, but I still choose you. The Lord will work in you. It's not that hard. You know why I say that? Because of messages 1 to 12. I hope you write these words down. This is a little summary of all that you got already. Message 1 is on life. Just life, the word life. Message 2, it's got a word and a phrase. Grow. Grow how? By exercising your spirit. Just exercise your spirit. Pay attention to your spirit. Number 3 is mainly on the word of God, the word. The message was on the practices, maintaining life by the practices. But the main thing the brothers have been talking about all week is the Bible. Read the Bible. I tell you, read the Bible, you'll become stronger. You'll have the power in your heart to say, Amen, Lord. That's how it works. Read the Bible. It just, you know, the Bible itself says the Word of God is living and operative. Experience it. Number 4, regeneration. Regeneration. I'm going to come back to that one. Number 5, the law of the Spirit of life. You have a law in you that spontaneously frees you. Number 6, the sense of life. Young people, you all go. You go where? I tell you, the Lord has feelings in you about everything. I mean, what kind of a God do we have? That you're in your room and your mom calls, Daniel, and you go, what? And the Lord, attitude. Say, oh Lord, sorry. Yes, mom. You repent right there. He's the God of the universe, taking care of his economy. But when you have a bad attitude, he's like right there. Like he pays attention. What kind of a God is this? Because that'll help you grow. And not repenting stops you from growing. That's the hindrance. Number 7, fellowship. Fellowship. Have fellowship with the Lord every day. Talk to him. In the morning, we talked a lot about the morning. Have time with him. But then throughout the day, just talk to him about everything. Tell him, this day stinks, Lord. Why? He'll say, go to bed. Start again, new day. There's another one's coming. It's really bad, Lord. Good, go to sleep. End it. Cut it short. Wake up again. Ah, new day. Be my beginning. Talk to him about everything. 8, the anointing. The Spirit moving. Same thing. Spirit moving all the time in our hearts. I'm going to stop in about 4 minutes. And some of you, it's going to be moving. You say, oh, no, I shared. And the Lord said, no, speak. You say, Lord, I already shared. Does he say, oh, that's right, I forgot. No, he says, hey, I know that already. I moved in you then. I'm moving in you now. Go. Oh, I'm in the back. Yeah, you think I can't see you? Just get up. Oh, there won't be enough time. They'll cut me off. I don't want to end up with one sentence. He says, just go. You have an anointing. Why does he bother with you? Sometimes I ask the Lord, why do you bother with me? Don't you have somebody, like, other things to do? He just likes to. It's wonderful. 9, sins. Confess your sins. That's how you grow. 10, the world. Deal with the world. But how do you deal with the world? Follow the anointing, the sense of life, and the fellowship to deal with the world. Don't just try to deal with the world. 11, church life. Have companions, have a group, have a service. The church life. The church life is the best environment to grow. And then number 12, consecration. This morning's message. Just give yourself to the Lord. Just give yourself. I said I want to come back to number four, regeneration. In that lesson on regeneration, at the very end, it talks about the riches gained in regeneration. And I just want to encourage you, and I'm going to leave you with this. At the beginning of your Christian life, whether you were 6, 11, 12, whenever it was that you first prayed, the Lord gave you a new heart to love him and a new spirit to contact him. A heart that loves the Lord. You're not like this naturally, but in your heart, you just love the Lord. Don't you love the Lord? Amen? You just love the Lord. Not everybody loves the Lord. Look around. Go back to your neighborhood. Not everybody loves the Lord. Why do you love the Lord? You go, you know what? I don't know. Come to think of it, I know why. Because God gave you a new heart. You opened your heart one day, and he gave you a new heart, soft toward him. And that's always with you. And no matter what happens, you can exercise your new heart again. Some things will come in your life to make your heart hard toward the Lord. Has that not happened already sometimes? But you're still here. What happened? You got a new heart. And somehow, whether it was because you read something or somebody came and shepherded you or you heard a hymn, your heart got soft again. You have a new heart. Exercise your heart. Exercise your heart to love the Lord. And I leave you with this. The most important thing to prepare for the Lord's coming is just this. Love him. Just love him. Just love him. And say, Lord, I love you, but you know how much I love you. I love you sometimes, but I feel I don't love you. But I do love you. But I don't love you. But I love you. Have you ever spoken that way to the Lord? Just tell him. Just be honest. I tell you, he will fill you with his love. He will fill you with his love. Okay, in closing, I want to sing hymn 1132 in the hymn book. 1132. Just with the piano. 1132. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it has like 7 or 8 verses, and you'll catch it by the end. 1132. It's a prayer. The whole hymn is a prayer.